בין רוצת השני.
The deeper question is, how much are mitzvot affected, A, by events that take place, and B, by initiatives by the people? There might even be the beginning of Torah Shabbat Peh, or some type of involvement of treading on thin water, but it's like really neat what happens. Okay? So that's the question we're going to deal with, and I want to try to give an approach, but to tackle the question, first we have to have a 5-10 minute little share to understand what's happening in Sefer Bamidbar, and then we'll get to the main part. One other question, the second question of introduction. Logically speaking, when should Bnei Yisrael receive the mitzvot of the Torah? When should Bnei Yisrael receive the mitzvot that they have to keep?
When
Am Yisrael are slaves in Egypt, do they get the laws that they have to keep when they become a nation? Why not?
No.
They don't need them yet, they're not there yet. When they leave Egypt, where are they told that they're going to? What is Moshe Rabbeinu promise them? Where are they going to? No, not where he says Paro. He's telling them, we're going to the promised land. He promises them the promised land. He doesn't tell them to go into Har Sinai. That they would have come. On the way out of Sinai, what happens? We stop at Har Sinai. And what seems to be the purpose of stopping at Har Sinai? What's the apparent purpose of stopping at Har Sinai? To receive the law, to enter a covenant. And because of that covenant, to receive the laws that will make us Adam Kadosh. And therefore, logically, I think it only makes sense that at Har Sinai, at Har Sinai, Am Yisrael should receive all the laws that they need to keep in the land of Israel. Wouldn't that make sense? No. Does it make sense that all the laws aren't taught in the same day? Why? It's too much to absorb. And therefore, we get them sort of in spurts. We get the Ten Commandments, we get Parshat Mishpatim, and we get this. You follow? It makes sense. I'm going to draw it out. It makes sense. I need to study. But it also makes sense that the law should be given at Har Sinai. And then the question is, after we leave Har Sinai, what happens? Are there going to be any laws after we leave Har Sinai? Now, can anyone think of any law that was given after we left Har Sinai? Anything that comes to mind? What? According to possibly TT. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, the
way
the
Mahana
was set out was
that
the law wasn't over
the Kinab,
it was over the
Dashboard. Okay, but we have to make a distinction between what's called Mitzvah L'Sha'a, Mitzvah L'Doro. A Mitzvah L'Sha'a, Mitzvah which applied to that generation, counting the people, the Mitzvah, and things like that, makes sense, would only be begun. But how about a Mitzvah? Are there any Mitzvot that are for sure given after we left Har Sinai? Yeah?
That's according to Ramban, in other words, anything that's
mentioned in Devarim,
that was clearly in the 40
of you.
The question is whether they were already given or whether they were new.
Wait, the laws in Devarim, for example, when were they first given? The laws in Devarim. According to Sefer Devarim, when were the laws, not what people think, but according to Sefer Devarim, when were the laws in Devarim first given? When? At Har Sinai, during the first 40 days. It's black and white. In Sefer Devarim, all Perikei talks about that. And Moshe reiterates over and over again. The whole story, Moshe's speech begins with, the laws I'm about to teach you were all given to me in Har Sinai, and I taught it to you then, and I taught you over and over again, and now I'm teaching you the last time. As he teaches them, he adds some rebuke, he might add some explanations, insights, etc. But he says, the laws, they're 40 years old. And but they haven't been applicable yet because they've been in the desert. Now they're about to go in, and therefore all the laws of Devarim for sure were given at Har Sinai. They're even on Har Sinai. The laws in Shmos were given where? On Har Sinai. First 40 days, second 40 days, last 40 days, at Har Sinai. The laws of Vayikra were given at Har Sinai. Some of them after the Mishkan was built, but the Mishkan is still at Har Sinai. Remember that Har Sinai for a year. They're at Har Sinai. What's that leave us with?
Bamidbar.
Okay. Now we're ready for our share. You follow? I mean, except for Sefer Bamidbar, we don't find any laws given after we leave Har Sinai except in possibly in Bamidbar. Our only candidate will be Sefer Bamidbar. Now, are the laws in Bamidbar?
Sure.
Sure. A lot of them. Okay. mostly a book of laws, though? Right? Mostly it's a story. As the story goes on, there's laws. Now, let's do a quick review offhand, and then I'll give out a little sheet that'll clarify it. Tell me laws that you remember offhand that are in the book of Dvarim. And then the book of Bamidbar.
Nazir and
Sota. Right? Nazir, Sota. We'll go in order a little bit.
Chala.
Okay. Yeah. Nesachim. Where's the Kari? What's that mean? Nesachim? Are the drinkers? Yeah. Paraduma. Ari Miklat. Is Ari Miklat anywhere else?
Yeah,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
No.
You were, that's in?
Shadir
Neshama, yeah.
Pesach
Sheni. Pesach Sheni in Bamidbar? If I don't have to throw it. But yeah. They're in Bamidbar. Now, when in Bamidbar are they, though? Let's go again. Where in Sefer Bamidbar do we leave Har Sinai? Mm-hmm. Chronologically. With what Tarek? At the end of Bayibin Soron is when we leave. Till Tarek Yud, there's a lot of mitzvah, but that's fine. Nazir, Sotah, Birkat Kohanim. All the mitzvah in the soul. Pesach Sheni. That's still at Har Sinai.
Okay.
Where's the problem begin? What's the first mitzvah we find? In Sefer Bamidbar after we leave Har Sinai? What Tarek? So take a look now. You have your Koran. That's why I asked you to use the Koran. It'll make life easier. Because we're going to be, you have to see a bigger picture. Look at Teret Tetvah. And notice the first time we have laws that come after our Sinai. What do we find in Teret Tetvah? Remember the story of the Marguerite and the Teret Tetvah. In Teret Tetvah, we have the laws of what's called the Sakhid. In a nutshell, I'll summarize the law is that whenever a yachid brings a korban yachid, ola or zavach, right?
Yeah.
Right? Ola, or when you bring an animal, whenever you have a cookout with God, you have to have bread and drink. Okay, in a nutshell, you have to have rolls and drink soda. Otherwise it's not a barbecue. Or, in other words, you have to bring solet and wine. Yeah. And the amount of wine is a function of the size of the animal, like we said, davening, we mitchatam in iskem, kemedubar, and we don't even go into details. We learned it this morning, so shes in leparsh, shes in leil, you all know by heart. No. Would it make sense that law would be given now? Is that law because of chetaega? Are the laws, where do we have the laws of Allah and Tala? That the yachid brings them. Where were those first given? Not in the sachiv, it's the animal itself. That's faikr, right up front. That's the first impression of Vayikra. It's right there. When they were taught in Vayikra, they didn't mention the Sakhim. Okay? Now we say when you bring those korbanot, you bring the Sakhim. That leads to two possibilities. That it had not been for Chetam Raglim, maybe there would not be a need for the Sakhim, so you have to bring the Sakhim. That's a cool possibility. Yes, Salah? You know, purport, is that the right word? Support that? Is that word purport or something? Does it mean that? No, okay. It's the port, who advances that? Who advances that? Rav Shim Shofo Hirsch. I was amazed. I was checking up that. He just goes on and on. He goes in tremendous detail. Take a look at how every single detail, not just the laws, every detail of everything in Perek Tetvav directly related to Chet Egel. Every little detail. It's amazing. Now, do you want one parshan who takes it to an extreme? Rav Shim Hirsch says that everything here is because of Chet Egel. Which is amazing. Now, on the other hand, who can give a reason why this law might have been given earlier but it's only mentioned now? What's the connection between this law and the story?
Okay.
Because, why does the law of the Sakhim only relate to when you come to the land? There's an obvious reason. Why are the law of bringing flour and wine with the Korban only apply in the land of Israel?
We're supposed to get that stuff in the desert.
Yeah, and the desert doesn't exist in the desert. You can't bring it. Now, understand? So therefore, if that's true, then what would we have to say? We have to say that this law was given earlier, but recorded here for some thematic reason, and we enter the whole topic of what's called Ein Mukdam Mochav Torah, which will for sure is going to relate to our topic. Look at the next topic. Chala. Right? From Mitzvah Chala. Does that have anything to do with the Meraglim? Other than the opening line of, again, something implying to the land. Okay. The next law. When people do a shogeg, and you do shogeg, you're all the mitzvot, right? the entire nation does something wrong and doesn't do all the laws of the Torah. Would that law exist before or not? There's parhelim davar shel tzibur. It's not word for word the same law, but the concept is already in Vayikra. So is this something new, or is this an addition, a repeat? It's a great topic. The next law? That's it. Now how about an individual who sins and brings a korban, and then ends with, that's only shkaga. How about mezid? Is it mezid there? Yeah. In other words, all these korban are only if you do something unintentionally. Do it on purpose? Sorry, Charlie. No korban. Oh. And then also, these laws also apply to a ger, and for everybody. Okay. Then we have the strange story of the Mekoshesh, which might happen now, and the laws are followed, and then we get to see. Bubba? So that's one set of laws. What's the next time we have laws? Then we have the story of Korach. After Korach is over, the story ends in Yud-Zayin. In Perek Yud-Chet, what do we find? A whole lengthy list of laws that are sort of on the boring side, except for Kohanim and Levim. That's our salary. But it details what we call Matnas Kuhuna. All the different presents, compensation. All the compensation that the Kohanim and later the Levim get for the work in lieu of the work in the Beit HaMikdash. Was that law only given now? Would it make sense it would be given now? Had it not been for Korach, then the Levim would never have been compensated for the work?
No.
We have that idea. We have in the Mishkan, we have Sefer Levim was already set aside. And Aser Tzatzer we already have? But that might be Maser Sheni already. Depends how you understand Aser Tzatzer or not. But the laws of still, there's other laws of Maser in the story. That you have enough for you. It's not enough that you got this already. Yeah. And that's what you're saying. These laws were really given earlier.
They're given earlier, but they're put here because we're trying
okay.
to...
So these laws are... It's very easy to conclude that the laws after Korach were given earlier and placed here for... You see why this is really important in a minute. But the best proof is Perek Yotet. What laws in Perek Yotet? Paraduma. How do we know that the laws of Paraduma had to have been given earlier? Are the laws of Parduma, are the laws of Tumat Bet written anywhere earlier? The laws of Tumat Bet? The laws of how to deal with Tumat Bet. Not that Tumat Bet existed, but how to deal with Tumat Bet.
No.
For sure not, right? But how do we know that people knew about it beforehand? They said, that's the same thing that's a shadam. So the laws of Parduma had to have been known beforehand. One of the best proofs is Perek Yotet. It's almost impossible to say that Perek Yotet was given only because of Parshas Korach. And that can be an anchor for all Shittah of Emuk Damo. If I was, that's why it's important. All the other ones you can catch here and there, Perek Yotet is a bit of an anchor. Now, then we have lots more stories again. And what's the next time we find Mitzvot? In Parshas Pinchas. Remember? And what's the story that precedes it? Which is really interesting. That's his vote so hot. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu it's time to die. Remember, it's time to pass on. See? And then Moshe complains, hey, there won't be a leader. God says, okay, I'll give you a leader. Yeshua is appointed. And if you remember, Perach Chazayin should be the end of, not the end of Chumash, but should be the end of Sefer Bamidbar. What's it doing in the middle of the whole topic? And then right afterwards, all of a sudden we get out of nowhere the laws of what's Perek Chafet about? We learned it this morning. The topic isn't just Chagim. The topic isn't Chagim. The topic is not all Korbanot. What's the topic? Tmidim and Mustafim. It's the daily, the yearly schedule in the Beit HaMikdash. It's for the Gavoy. Perek Chafet is for the Gavoy. He knows what to do every single day. It's in the Luach. Nice and organized. One of the most organized set of laws in the whole book. And then we have something about the Darim, the Mamet, and that's it for the laws or not? Any other laws? Yeah, now was that Labit Chadesh or that law? Yeah. I'm going to get to we'll see something really cool about Tosha in a minute. Those laws there, in the battle that we learn through the battles and laws. I want to make that a cuter one though. What other laws come later on in the book? Remember the laws you said someone said are in the class? Yeah? But before then, there's a real cool law. Okay, so I want to show you I'm going to give out a piece of paper now that'll summarize what we did. But it'll clarify a couple confusion. Should be enough. If a couple of people share would be fine. We're around. I can't count people, yeah. If about 10 people share would be fine. I mean, one little thing that line, it sort of shows this blend what happens in Sefer Bamidbar. What I did is I took Sefer Bamidbar and put it through a filter, because there's two types of writing going on. There's the ongoing story, I call it the ongoing narrative, that goes on, and at the same time there's also lots of mitzvot. For sure. The question is, what's the connection between the ongoing story and the mitzvot? To clarify that, Sefer Bereshit is a ongoing narrative, real simple. Sefer Shmos is what? It's mostly narrative, but as the narrative progresses, what do we find? We have the story of Mamad Har Sinai, and part of that story is the Ten Commandments. We have the story of the Brit, of not the Brit Haganot, and part of that Brit is Parshat Mishpatim. We have the story of Chet Ego, right? And after that, some laws. No, after that. The story of the laws of the Mishkan, part of that story. But the laws that we find in Sefer Shmot flow beautifully with the narrative. But that's not the place. Sefer Vayikra is a book which is 90%, 95% laws. It's a book of laws. If there's a story in the book, it has to do with the laws that it's talking about. It's a book of laws, and it's organized by in law order. That was simple. Devarim is the laws that were given on the first 40 days. That's what she gives them in the 40th year. That's for sure a book of laws. How about Sefer Bamidbar? What's it most similar to? Right? It seems to be like Shmot, because it's first and foremost a narrative, and as the narrative goes on, there's a lot of laws. But what we're going to show you though is that even though the narrative for sure follows nice and logically, a certain phenomenon exists in Sefer Bamidbar which is unique to the book, which is we do find laws in the book, but when you look at this chart here, there's lots of laws in the book that don't appear to flow with the narrative. And we call them Mitzvot HaDorot, and the table highlights them. We have the first four chapters to organize the camp, and then out of nowhere we get the laws of Hashem, the laws of Sotah, the laws of Nezir, Birkat Kohanim. Correct? Had they not been there, if you're learning Mamad Har Sinai and don't have the Ten Commandments, you'd ask, hey, they're missing. You follow? If you had the laws of Sotah and Nezir not been here, no one would question, hey, how come they're not here? They don't belong. But they're there anyhow. So, then we have the dedication and everything. Now, I'm not including, I really shouldn't have put Pesach Sheni there at all. Because Pesach Sheni is part of the story. You know why Pesach Sheni is part of the story? But how does it fit into the story? What's happening in this story?
Chronologically, it's come
before. But it happens chronologically there, but there's a reason why it's there. Because when should Bnei Yisrael leave Har Sinai? Had nothing gone wrong, how long should they have been in Har Sinai for? Let's say they've been at Chet Ego. How long should they have been there for? For 40 days and then go on. Chet Ego, Moshe got it out, etc. Another 40 days and finally get Midas Rachamim. Why don't they leave after Yom Kippur? They did some rehab. Then we build the Mishkan. You follow? How long does that take? So Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They put it together. Why can't they leave this on second day of Nisan? They built it. Why can't they leave the second day of Nisan? There's the Kiddush. What about the Kiddush? And how long did the Kiddush go for? Now you understand why Pashat Yisrael is in Bamidbar? Why can't you leave on the 13th of Nisan? That's how the women know why. The hotels in the desert there. Where are you going to go? You can't leave. When should they leave? The day after? After Pesach Rishon. Why don't they leave after Pesach Rishon? Because there's some leftists there, they say it's not fair that what?
We didn't.
They say it's not fair, hey, we want to bring Korban Pesach, it's not fair, but they're complaining, aren't they? What are they hoping that God will say? But bring a bit, they're hoping God will say, bring a bit to him, okay, you know, it's so important, bring a bit to him. They're hoping for a nice left wing affair. I'll be careful. They're hoping for a nice, liberal answer. Okay? What's God tell him? Okay, but what? Wait a minute. Wait for the next full moon. Uh-huh. And therefore they have to wait till what day? To the 14th of Nisan.
Yeah.
I mean, 14th of Iyar. When did they leave finally Har Sinai? Yeah. 3 days later. That's it. Understand? But the story is there because I need to know what's taking so long. It's not just it happened then. It's not just, oh, it's an event that happened then. It's that event that causes the story to happen the way it does. And that's why the Nisim are there. Basically, we're going through all the days, pretty much day by day. And we get the Chafiyah. The Lav Chassid Tzorok is also part of the narrative. We best aside, by the way, on Rosh Chodesh, you let go. You tokea, Chassid Tzorok, I will take him to Zivrechem, and if you have a war, you call out. But those are, again, those are laws that come with the narrative. They're fine. So I did put them on the Mitzvah of the Dorot side. Then everything goes wrong. Basically, I divided the narrative into three real simple parts. It's getting ready to leave Har Sinai, preparing to leave Har Sinai. That's up until I think it's all wrong. And what should have happened afterwards should have been, right? What they call the Great March, they should have gone right in. Now, instead of going to Israel, what happens instead? Right? Instead of being the story of how we go to Israel, the next section becomes the story of why we don't make it. Now, why we don't make it also, who doesn't make it? You follow? Because almost every single story, not only do people do something wrong, almost every single story ends with people being killed. Pretty much. Especially if it's our next Shavka Met, and Aaron and Miriam don't make it either, in the end. It possibly because of this story as much as what happens later on. But every single story, people die, don't they? There's the Magifas, the Korach, they die, the Mitavim, Tavera. Every single story, people die. What's my proof? What's the last story of a sin where people die? With the Chet of Benot Moab. That's the last event where people die. Remember that one?
Yes.
And Pinchas saves the day. How many people die in that Magifah? Right, 24,000. Right? And who stops the Magifah? Remember? Pinchas. What's the next pasuk after that's over? What's the next topic, right? That's over? We have a Mishkat, which is totally out of place. Why is there a Mishkat after? We know how many, we don't need to count them how many people are left. We know that. We Chumash. It says before that. It's not easier to count the people who died than the people who are, than the people left over.
Sure.
But what is it? The Mishkat, it says what the Mishkat is for. Leilat Chetzes Benachala. And therefore, when the section of the narrative is over, to describe who died, answer a Mishkat. You follow? That's each. And therefore, the last section is going to be preparing to go in the land. And therefore, the Mishkat, even though it belongs to the end, is out of place. Okay. And what's the proof of it? You know by heart. The Rishon. And it's Hanan. Remember to follow God's laws, etc. Remember what God did to people of Baal Peor? Ki kol ish asher alach achay Baal Peor. Asher alachecha. Vatem, you who survived, and the last of that was Baal Peor. You saw what happened to people who don't listen. You survived and followed God and were saying, keep up the good work. Because if not, you'll be in trouble. And therefore the last section of Bamidbar begins with entering Canaan, and then afterwards it's getting ready to go in. Then we have the Mishkat, then we have Chodesh Tophat because of the Mishkat. Then we have the war against Midian, which is the beginning of Nachala. The war against Reuben and Gad and Hasib and Asher. And then we summarize the travels through the desert. Then we have the borders of Israel, Arayim Miklat, and Chodesh Tophat, which are all topics. There might be mitzvot there, but they're all topics that relate to coming into land. They flow within there, though. Now, on the other hand, as that narrative continues, what do we find consistently? Okay. There's all these, I call them commercials. There's a story going on, yeah. And like in Israeli movies at least, there's commercials in the middle. And they break, and what are we advertising in these commercials? I call it better, halacha yomi, in the middle. We take a break during the story, we bring halacha. And see the halachot? Yeah. Look, see the halachot that interrupt? We went through most of them. What's common to most of them? Where do most of these halachot belong? They belong in Vayikra, don't they? Except maybe Tzitzit. And, what do you call it? With Nedarim, that's a problem, Bichal, what Nedarim is doing there. There's a different way Nedarim is there. But pretty much all of them belong in, like, some of them are almost written in Vayikra, almost echad echad they all belong in things. It's tzitzit that relates to the beginning of tzitzit, that's really cool, but tzitzit is a little bit problematic. We'll see what.
Maybe
it belongs also in the scroll, probably. It depends, again, if it originally in the Chachid or B'dir. Now, now, if you look at that setup, what seems to be happening in Sefer, Samidbar? First and foremost, it's a narrative, it's a story. But what does Chumash do intentionally? As it writes the story, what's it doing? It interrupts the story with some mitzvot. Now, let's go into Chazal, I'm pretty sure. When was Sefer Bamidbar composed? Written. When was it written? We just got that, right? Who wrote Sefer Bamidbar? Moshe Rabbeinu. But when did he write it? Remember the publisher Parish? Can we do that, Sheriff?
Can you say they collect a little
letter? I said, that's Mikilah Nina. I call publish and perish. Can we use that word before? Let's get to Moshe Zu, it's time to die, but before you leave, take all the Mikilot of blood that you have, and all the stories that happened, and publish them into not one book, but five books. Or at least four books that every Rishi was given beforehand. Understand? Give me the proof. Okay, wait, what's the proof that Shemot was written in the 40th year? It's the final form of Shemot for sure.
Aman.
Remember, after the man falls, God says, take your tzitzit and put it next to the Olam Moed, which has been
the man after,
and it says, and the Bnei Yisrael ate the man for 40 years. Okay. That can't be written on the spot. You follow? Now, if that's true, then when Sefer Bamidbar is being written, it's first and foremost about what would happen. Remember the three parts? Can rank the three parts? Can I? Why they don't make it and have the next generation gets written? But what does Moshe Rabbeinu do as he's writing? Or what does God tell him to do? Akash Baruch Moshe Rabbeinu Incorporated. What do they do? They interrupt the narrative with mitzvot. Now, I want to show you something really neat, how the Ramban related to that. Ramban said something amazing. Okay, this is, I hope it's not too small print, but can I pass these around? We're going to read now the Ramban. I want to show you how the Ramban paid attention to this. And what he does with Sefer Bamidbar. Now we'll do a quick little. We'll get to the summary. I hope it's clear what we're doing so far. I'm trying to show you first. Our big question is, where did the mitzvot to say, when were they given? Or what are they? But I want to first, and we went through the book and showed how the book is built. I want to show you how the Ramban dealt with this phenomenon. He makes something amazing. We'll take some time at the beginning. He compares everything to like Har Sinai. That Ramban has a shita that everything. Besides Ramban, he in order. We'll see how he tries to think of that. But he also says the Mishkan is first and foremost the professor not the Har Sinai. And every time the Mishkan is mentioned, he always says it has to do with something happened in Har Sinai. And therefore he goes on, everything happens in the beginning of Bamidbar with the Mishkan and the camping around it, all goes back to perpetuating Har Sinai. Remember. Now towards the end, I have it marked. After he goes about all of his parallels to Mamad Har Sinai, listen what he says. Everyone have it? Towards the bottom, I have a little star in that line, or by number 12, in one. If I come out of Ramban. It says, for a dead kulo b'mitzvat sha'a. She's tabu b'embam zam b'mitzvah. Hear the statement he says? It's mind-boggling what he says. He says, this entire book is only about mitzvat sha'a. You know what mitzvat sha'a means? Mitzvot only for that time period, not for all generations. It says, this book is only narrative, basically. That's all it is. How can you say something like that? Remember on the list how many mitzvot in the row we have? He'll fix himself in a minute. Again, Vasema said, Mitzvot Shah, Shiksabu Ben Bamzan Bamidbar, Ubinitim Anasim Lehem Lestater, Kol Nasi Hashem Yisrael Mehem Nasvi. You follow? Nice and simple? It's Mitzvot Nesha'a, like the Mifkadim and the Nachalot and things like that. And also, all the miracles that God did for us. I guess also all the things that God did, how he intervened. Why? V'sitzer ki echel letzet oyveim lifneim lacharev. What's that talking about? That's Mechemet Sichon v'og and Mechemet Midian, etc. V'tziva ech erech zarek lehem. Simple enough? And then he says, now he fixes himself. And he knows there's other mitzvot there. Listen how he describes him. V'ein v'sefer hazeh mitzvot l'ogot l'dorot Zulat, there are no mitzvot ledorot, except what? Zulatik sat mitzvot b'nenei ha-korbanot. You follow? Some mitzvot that belong in Sefer Vayikra. Shidchil ben b'sefer ha-kohanim. You follow? V'lo nishlam b'yuram sham v'shlimam b'sefer hazeh. Is that Gavah what he's saying? You can't, if you didn't do what we did before, you wouldn't begin to appreciate what Ramban's saying.
He forgot about him.
Is he saying he forgot about him? Is that me? Listen, what he's saying. The first thing he's saying is, if you look at that, he's saying, what is Sefer Bamidbar? It's a left column. That's what he's saying. Sefer Bamidbar is a left column. It's not the Doro. It's the Shah. But he says, but as he's telling the Mitzvotash, as he's telling the story in his theme, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? There's certain laws that he didn't finish explaining. Laws that he began in Vayikra, and he finishes the explanation here in Vayikra. Yeah? Exactly. He doesn't cover all the things. He doesn't cover everything here. And what else doesn't he explain? Exactly. He doesn't cover all the spaces. Give me examples. Sanhedrin, for sure. Oh, Sanhedrin, you can say that means the Shogeg part?
Yeah.
That's the Korbano. Okay. Arei Miklat, that's right. Rok Sofcha, depending on... There's plenty of them. Okay. Yeah. What else doesn't he explain? He says they weren't, they didn't finish explaining them there, and they finished them there. What does he explain?
Why
didn't I finish them there? It's like, you know, we got most of it, and yes, they know we'll get that later. Okay. But without explaining why at all. He thinks of, now, as he goes in Pirush and Bamidbar, he'll try to explain it, he'll try here and there. But it's very difficult, you follow? Now, why is it so connected to Ramban? Because what's Ramban want to stick to?
Yeah.
He wants to keep commission order, right? And what's the much more logical explanation to what's happening? That the mitzvot were really given where? Beforehand. And what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? He's recording this. Now, let's say that's what happened. Which I think makes a lot more sense. What would be the logic of doing that? Why would Chumash do that? Why would Moshe Rabbeinu and Akash Baruch Hu Incorporated? Whose idea it was, I'll leave that to. It's a technical. Even if it, I'm not sure if a lot to say, but if Akash Baruch Hu Moshe do it fine, and even, if God left that to Moshe Rabbeinu, God gave Moshe Rabbeinu smicha to do it himself, that's also important. If Moshe Rabbeinu did it, something to learn from. Okay. But what would be gained for something like that? What would we gain by having these interruptions of mitzvot?
They're grammatically important to...
Yeah? But you were saying?
You can look at it two ways. Either the story helps you remember what the mitzvot are, or the mitzvah shows you the application of the story. So you can put the emphasis either on the story or on the mitzvah. Yeah. When the mitzvah
and how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that?
How are you going to do what?
What you just said. How are you going to learn from the mitzvah and the story? How are you going to learn from the story and the mitzvah?
Well, just by hearing it, you make that association.
And who has the license to make the association?
Moshe.
Okay. No, Moshe gets it started. You see what the book is doing almost? Okay. In writing that way, what are you always tempted to do the second you see that? Yeah?
Well, there's two things going on, because don't know what you know.
So first of all, this blend of mitzvah and narrative is intentional.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Now, the question is, what's the intention? Or what's the author's intention doing that? What does Chumash want the reader to do? Yeah?
Keep your mind on the ending, meaning that you want to get into Israel and you want to experience what you're going to be doing there. So you have all the preparatory steps and all the back steps that we take. But you all along have reminders about what's going to be happening and what you're going to need.
When you get there. But what do I gain by putting these mitzvot there? What am I going to gain from that?
You think more about it.
What's it going to force you to do almost?
Have a share.
Yeah. It's going to force you pretty much, I think, to make up the threshold. Isn't it? It's going to force you to make up drashot. Make up the means. Lama nitzmacha, something you asked me before. Why is it that certain korach is preceded by the laws of tzitzis? What's going on? Because I'll make up like everyone. We all know Rashi there. Remember? Is that what happened historically? We don't know. Why the laws of sota next to the laws of nazir? Why is Mitzat Neriyah next to Paraduma? There's tons of them. Now, is there one answer to any of those questions?
No.
There's tons of them. What I want to say is, that's what, exactly what Chumash wants to happen. You follow? What does Chumash want the reader to do? The Chumash wants us to the rich, and there doesn't have to be one right answer. It's like enjoying, you ever go to a museum, you know, fan art, what do? You stare here, you look at that, what's that mean? One picture, like a patish, you put it there, one picture, but depending how you look at it, there's multiple meanings for the same picture. Now, and you can also learn, like you were mentioning, how Torah is not just teaching a dry set of laws. It's a Torah chayim. And therefore, how are we going to learn how to apply things? How are we going to learn? There's a lot of things you can learn. But one of the ways the Torah teaches this message is by, it's not only by what's written, but how it's written. And by juxtaposition. I mean, the Torah teaches not only by its content, but by its structure. And that seems to be what's for sure happening by Midbar, and afterwards, Chazal applies to all the other books. That's the basis for Yimukdam B'chav Torah, where I'm saying, a primary consideration of an organization of Chumash by Moshe Rabbeinu in the 40th year is in order for the reader to not just to know what happened, but to learn lessons and to learn. Now, you can argue who has a license to Dorish. You follow? Who has a license now? There's Drashot, which are Hilchatiot, which is much more limited. To get a license for that, you have to live a long time ago. Okay. Then there's also the license to get Musar, which is easier. And then there's license to Shaka Shudas, which is free for all. Okay. You follow? And Chumash leaves, and there should be a wide range. But that's what Chumash wants you to do. Or at least if you don't do it, at least you'll appreciate, by studying, you'll appreciate what their predecessors did. You follow? It's such a powerful tool of teaching a lesson. Now, is first class or any of these laws related? No. But after you take a second or third class, what do you find? There's so many connections. Yeah. Do you want to be, again, I mentioned Shalosh Shudas. Do you want to do something Shalosh Shudas? Again, only Shalosh Shudas. It's cool. It's its own place there. Because if you compare the narrative to someone's day-to-day life, and you compare the mitzvot to learning Torah, pretty much. So the question, what do you do in our lives, what are they? Our lives are sort of our narrative. We live our lives. And as we live our lives, we study Torah. And we're keeping Torah. What do we do? What do we always have to do, though? Like you were saying, what do we need to do? We're always looking, what's the connection between the life we're living and the mitzvot that we're keeping, and the Torah we're studying? So understood, again, it's a nice idea. What's happening about Midbar is almost happening. It's almost a pattern for life. Okay, now we get to the back to the. But you see the Ramban? Now I want to have a little scientific quote here, and maybe not so scientific. According to the Ramban, okay, what mitzvot are in the book? Only mitzvot, Mishra, and mitzvot the Torah are things that belong in Vayikra. Now, one mitzvot which you hinted to before. Look at in chapter 32, 33. Yeah, you see, there's this. Remember in Parshat Maaseh? I'll put your Chumash to Perek Lamed Gimel. Something really, really neat. This is Halacha L'Maaseh. Remember Parshat Maaseh? We have a summary of all the different places they travel to. It's summarizing from Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Look at Lamed Gimel Mem Tet. Remember the camp in the Yarden, we made the Shemot, and they get to Arvot Moav? Simple. Look at Pasuk Nun. Vaydavar Hashem Moshe et Arvot Moav, ayodin recha lemor. Davar b'nei tzav amatelem, ki yadem obrim ad yardin ala eskenan, for rashtim et ko yishvei arz b'nechem, yibadetem et matziotam, et komo tzamim tzachem tzabedu, et komo tzam tashmidu, for rashtim et arz, vishaktem ba, ki lachem et tati arz for rashtim zav, vinachaltem ota, וגורא דשפורתם דורפת בן אחותו וכו' וכו'. ואם לא ואם לא תרישו את יושבי הארץ מזניכם, we know exactly what happens. בדנות, והיה כאשר נביא לעשות לכם, נעשה להם. You follow? Now, what's the question? Is this לשער או לדורות? See how neat that is? When we read these psukim, With this in mitzvah for the generation going in.
Isn't the Ramban himself a Sadducee?
Exactly, yeah. But everyone else disagrees with him. Now, if you look carefully at the Ramban, you know what Ramban says? Ramban, the same thing he says by Lashon Hara by Miriam. He says something really neat. He says, there's certain mitzvot, it's almost like electricity on Shabbos.
You don't know what I mean.
Electricity on Shabbos is also, you know why? What did you learn to see? Why is electricity also on Shabbos? What? Either no light or what else? Hey, Shabbat, Masochad, you name it. Right? The way I understand it, I've heard that also from like real rabbis. The electricity is awesome, you know why? Because it's awesome. Now go find an avalacha. Because Hilchatit, you need to find an avalacha. But it's awesome because it's awesome. You'll find an avalacha for it. That's why there's so many different opinions. But it's awesome because it's not shop. It's not. It can't be. The same way we know the Yakubor hat. You know the head of it. Now, the Ramban says the same thing about Lashon Hara, about Miriam. If you look at the famous Ramban about Lashon Hara, about Miriam, remember it's the question of Salat Miriam? What did he say there? Why is it? He says what? He says the coolest thing. He says, there has to be, it can't be, that there wouldn't be a mitzvah in the Torah about speaking Lashon Hara. There has to be. You follow? There has to be a mitzvah. And therefore, I'm putting onto this pasuk. You follow? He says, I put it somewhere else. But there has to be. But he's kind of mitzvah, there has to be a mitzvah about speaking Lashon Hara. That's what he said, that word for word. Look at later on in Parsha Kitese.
Who says that?
Ramban. He says there has to be. If you look carefully here about mitzvah Yishuv Ha'aretz, he says the same thing. There has to be mitzvah Yishuv Ha'aretz. He pins it onto this pasuk, and then he says, if it wasn't for this pasuk, I can quote you another 5 or 10. Read carefully what he says in his Hasagot on Ramban, not on the Pirush HaChumash, the long version, on Ramban. Look at Lashon carefully, it's so neat. I mean, this isn't the reason, this isn't a sibah, it's a siman. You follow? That's how he gets out of it. Now, but halacha l'maaseh is really neat. Now, what's halacha l'maaseh? But this mitzvah of kicking out, first of all, kicking out the non-Jews living there, kicking out and taking over the land, is that a mitzvah only for this generation? Right? Or is it mitzvah l'dorot? What's enough kibbutz? Let's say 2,000 years pass, or 3,000, and we come back to our land. Is there a chiyuv to kick out any non-Jew living in the land? Is there a shul or is there any sur? You follow? And what do I learn from here? Yeah. Now, once you have it, giving it something else, but let's say you're not there yet. Yeah, what's the point of having it? In my opinion, Chumash goes out of its way so many times to say that these seven nations are being kicked out because of the way that, remember Vayikra? Remember? King caught all the toys, what they did? And we started out how bad Canaan is back in Breshit. Chumash goes out of its way to tell you that God's kicking them out and he's using you as a vehicle to kick them out. And this was a one-time mitzvah. That's why, for sure, I think it's a mitzvah of Shai here. But Rashi understands, the Rambam understands. Rashi for sure understands it that way. Because Rambam is cholik on Rashi. Rashi says this is an Eitz HaTova, not a mitzvah. Rashi says, don't get rid of them, because if you don't get rid of them, they'll get rid of you. That Eitz HaTova is the Tova. But is there a mitzvah? Do we have a chiyuv, right? Or even a rashut, to kick out non-Jewish people living in our land just because they're living there? Because I warned you, it's something else. But is there? Is how cool the question is?
So it depends on whether it's the 12 day of Azara Nafka or not day of Azara.
Yeah, or if they said if the seven nations, maybe, but they're gone already. The seven nations. So, and depends what and what are the point? It's a really good. I'm not answering it now. But part of the answer is,
you know, that's the question. It says if you don't get rid of them, they'll.
But is that point only to that generation? Or again, if it's an Eitzah, it's an Eitzah for all generations. So the question is, do the Jewish people have a right to kick out any non-Jew living in that land? That's a real rough question. It's a moral question. Do they have the right? Are they allowed to? It could be a tzar. If all, you need big rabbis to answer that kind of stuff. That's a real big question. A lot of people think it like it's a simple thing. It's not simple at all. You understand? Do you have a right? Was this only mutter because God told them these seven nations sinned, and I decided they said, not you decided, I decided, and I'm getting rid of them anyhow, and I'm making you get rid of them to teach you a lesson, so that you know when, if you do the same thing, and in the dream, they come out all the time. When God kicks us out and says from Malachim, he says, you're as bad as the Amorites, so I kicked out because of you. And therefore you deserve the same fate. There's a lot of mutter behind it. Okay, now back to our topic. Do you follow? But then, that difference in Mitzvah Lashon HaRa is really neat in Sefer Bamidbar. The same thing with Yom Tov. Had it not been for their request, would that have been the original halakha? Or did Lami Chadesh? I'll stop mentioning, you don't stop mentioning before. We said, according to this, when were the laws given? Most of the laws, at least, were given on Har Sinai. Now, some of the laws given on Har Sinai make it into Sefer Devarim. Why? They fit into the theme. Some make it into Vayikra. Why? They fit into the theme of Kedusha. Some make it into Bamidbar because they thematically, you know, connect nicely. Some made it to Shavuot, have to do with the relationship with God, etc. But there might have been lots of other mitzvot given on Har Sinai. They didn't make it into Shemot, didn't make it into Vayikra, didn't make it into Bamidbar, didn't make it into Devarim for whatever reason. What do we call those mitzvot? What? That's Halacha Moshe Mitzina. You follow? You see how important that will be to the next part. I'm assuming that there's a lot of laws that are given on Har Sinai. Okay. Not all of them. In fact, they're alluded to sometimes. Like, how to make tefillin. Because there's something we're supposed to put Bnei Necha. We don't know what they are. It only makes sense that God explained that to Moshe. It could have been written down long, but it didn't. And Chumash intentionally beats you to the Torah Shabbat because Chumash wants Torah Shabbat. He wants Torah to be alive. How alive and how do you change it? That's already a machloket and a shkafa. No. So you see what we've narrowed everything down to? The question is, as long as you have the page out, look how Sforno, and Sforno has done it to Bavid. See how he dealt with it. Did he give him beforehand or on the Tzlach? His whole, if you ever read that Gavach the Chumash in the beginning of verse 8, his key word is Yush. Every time we talk about Yush, how God was Yaish with mankind in the first 11 chapters, and then every picks up from Levino, then he's Yaish and Amikral, he takes it out anyhow. The word Yush is in every single book. It's like really, I guess it has to do with when he's living. See the middle paragraph? He talks about it before, and he talks about, I cut it in the middle. He talks about Chetam Raglim, verses number 45, Ubagdu v'davar Raglim, v'chein yishkitu in yanam, v'nigra lehem mitab amibar, abanem galut v'dorot, v'vok p'kudotam, v'lo niksu abanim lez v'tim v'chama, v'im zet v'var tot abim abayim shah. You follow? Chetam Raglim. Now, what happens next in the book? He gives a nice review of the book. V'tiber shlishi, כי בכל אלה לא חלו רחמי האל לתקן עניין הבנים כפי אפשר. You follow? Even though they sinned, God had rachmanis on them and saved them, he gave them, what's the key word here? What's the key word?
לתקן.
לתקן, exactly. לתקן עניין הבנים כפי אפשר, וציבה המצרי היחיד בהחלה וסייר עבוד הזרה, ואותם מוכנים לזה מן המרזים ואלה. What's he saying for sure? What's he saying? These mitzvot were all given? Now. At tikkun. You follow? God's doing it a favor by giving it away to B'gishan lo b'mitzvot pisi. Also part of a tikkun. It didn't help. He said. Avruven and Shul, who lichem al yeter ha'amon, began at first both the machtot, the matel, the matot kula, the vayishuv of the chislam. Follow? Even matot kula he puts in now. Now this is what he says next, it's really cute. Vizkir tarat mi chatat, mi tumat met. See the different lashon here? He didn't say that he was metzevet. Now, he says vizkir. Why did he have to say that? He can't say part of it was given now. Why can't he say that? In having it earlier, in fact, he goes always goes by Chazal, and when is Parzuma given? Back in Mara. Remember? Chazal put that back in Mara. The difference is, V'izkir Tarat Nechatat Nesumat Nes, V'ikatam Az Apsat Ha'aretz Amori, Asher Eretz Tichon V'og, and V'sham Natan Seder Nachlov Et Aretz, V'ibad Adin V'hala, V'chleila, Achar Yush Avoteyam, V'kulam Bav Maraglim, V'vizeh Seyem Sifar Ravi. He skips a lot of other details of Mitzvoy, as I mentioned, this medium of Safim, because he's an answer for it. You follow? We see what all of them do? What all the parshim have to do? They're trying valiantly to explain what's going on in the book. Okay, now we'll get to, I try to help you follow what we have set up. But the book is, now I want to deal with our question. How do we deal with what it really been, has not been for Maradlin, it wouldn't be to see. The truth is, it's a trick question. You know why? I want you to give me a proof that had not been for the Meraglim, there would have been tzitzit for sure. Tzitzit means he was approved before. How do we know there would have been mitzvah tzitzit even if it had not been for Chet HaMeraglim?
It was repeated in Kitzitzeh.
It's what in
Kitzitzeh?
Repeated from where? In Parsha Kitzitzeh, are you familiar? There's a lot of Kitzitzeh in Kitzitzeh. What's the Pasuk say? It's a one-liner. Our Bat had put Shuchatzeh Chaseva. There's a mitzvah to put Gdilin, whatever that means, on the four corners of your garment. When was that law given? It was given according to Sefer Dvarim. All the laws were given on Har Sinai in the first 40 days. Sefer, the law of Tzitzit, what we call Tzitzit, were given for sure in the first 40 days. They're repeated in Kitzitzit, like he said. But they were given earlier. And therefore, there hadn't been given meantime. Okay. If that's the case, then for sure it was given beforehand. Now, if that's true, Bichal, why is it mentioned at all in Sefer Bamidbar?
It has the magic connection to what's happening.
So then write it the same way as before. What might have happened? At least as far as TT goes. What? If this law was given before, what's really strange? If this law happened the first time it was given, it said, and therefore I just suppose it? Right? What? Yeah. It says God doesn't make, what I want to suggest is as follows. God doesn't make up a new mitzvah. What does he do? He takes an existing mitzvah that might, if it doesn't, would have been a short one-liner. And what does God do to it because of Chet HaMeraglim? He enhances the mitzvah and gives it additional meaning. You follow? And that would explain why it's in Bamidbar. You see what we're getting at? We're not going to mechadesh a new mitzvah that didn't exist before, but because of events that happened, I'm going to enhance the mitzvah and give it an element of tikkun. I'll give you another example of Shitat Chazal. Had it not been for Chet HaEgel, would there have been a Mishkan, yes or no? Had it not been for Chet HaEgel, would there have been a Mikdash? How do we know for sure? Sefer Dvarim. For sure there would have been a Mikdash, no doubt about it. But it had to be a Mikdash. What would that Mikdash look like? What Korbanot would be there? How many Mechitzot there would be there? It's a black box. We have no idea. Now, after Chet HaEgel, what happened? Lefi Chazal. What's God decided to do? I can't wait for a permanent Mikdash. I need a temporary one. Now, which we call the Mishkan. How much the building of the Mishkan, is it just the structure that changed? Or it's the very essence of the Mishkan. What Korbanot would bring? The idea of a Korban Chatat. The one doesn't mention Chatat, does it? Does the one mention Chatat or not? It mentions Olot Mishlamim. Let me check it out, I'll check it out later. In the one we have the concept of a Mikdash, but what seems to happen, that's for sure, Rambam wouldn't agree with it, but Rashi for sure would go in that direction. He's saying that because of Chet HaEgel, what happened? The laws of the Mishkan are totally revamped. Why? Because Amitav needs a tikkun. Now, I want to bring a really cool example for the Ramban himself on this one. And from Parsha Bahar. This is like really neat. You have to follow. It might be a little bit, but you have to follow. The biggest problem, one of the biggest problems Ramban has with any Dhamma Muhar is Parsha Bahar. You know why? Why is Bahar going to be his biggest stumbling block? Because where should Parsha Bahar be? On Har Sinai. What's he doing? He's in the Vayikra. When does Vayikra begin? In Illinois. Parsha Bahar is the stumbling block for the Ramban. How is he going to get out of it? You follow? It's one of the Ramban's biggest challenges. Okay? No one ever reads this Ramban because it's very long. What? It's long. It's very long. Okay. But it's also buried. Why is it buried? Because what's Ramban talking about first? Minus Shemitah Tzar Sinai. Remember the famous Rashi? What's he doing there? Rashi brings down what he says. Ramban totally disagrees with how Ramban disagrees with how Rashi understood Chazal. And then Ramban goes to explain how he understands Chazal.
Okay?
He tries to put it all together. Now, after he does all that, then he dumps. He goes on to what his own opinion is, like this. But he does that often. First he argues with Rashi, that's his profession. Okay? Then he explains Chazal, so he understands Chazal. And then he says, if you want me to explain, I'll tell you how he says how he understands. Now, I to make it life easier, I copy the Ramban to his Nikudot.
Does that make life easier?
I want you to see how he gets around it. Now, let me explain how what he explains before in real simple. Where is the first time we find the laws of Shemitah? First time we find them in Chumash. Where? Mishpatim. Open up. This is me. Okay. Look in Perek Chaf Gimel Mishpatim. Mishpatim Chaf Gimel Pasek Yud. See Chaf Gimel Yud? What happened to it? Okay. After the left wing stuff, after the Gevul Tuchat, then you have V'shei Shanim Tizat Arteha V'sat Tzvotah. Remember? V'ashvit Yishmetenu Tashta V'chlu Avidei Amecha V'itom Tzvotah Chayta Tzvotah Kesev V'chal Levitecha. There's laws, it's not very detailed, but we have what's called a cloud of Shemitah, we have at Har Sinai. That's for sure. Then we have Shabbat, then we have Shalosh Regalim, etc. I'll show you something cute, one of them here. Look at the laws of the Shalosh Regalim. What Shavuot is called here? Why is Shavuot called Chag HaKetzir and not Chag Shavuot? Why can't it be called Chag Shavuot here? If someone tells you, celebrate a holiday of weeks, what are you supposed to do? How many weeks? What are we supposed to do? Calling the holiday Chag Shavuot is meaningless until I say what? Sure. It's 5 7 or something like that. You follow? Yeah? And therefore, there's no way God can, without explaining Shiva Shavuot Tispola, right? You can't say Chag Shavuot different. What is it though? It's Chag Katzir. Now, remember these are repeated again in Kitisa? Look in Kitisa after Chet Ha'Egel in Perek Lamed Aleph. Look what the holiday is called. Pasuk Hafet. You have to repeat it. It's the Torah reading on Chalamoid, Shabbat Chalamoid all the time. Okay. What's it say there? What's going on? How could God tell Moshe Rabbeinu stay for Shmos? Remember? I don't have Bani Kori. I don't have Parshat Emor yet, do I? How could God tell Moshe Rabbeinu talk about Shavuot without explaining what Shavuot is? You understand the problem? If that's a chedegel, how can God say v'chav shvuot? What's it mean? Good question. Did I lose you or not? You understand what the question is? What's the answer? You didn't follow, you should know the answer. What? No, this is the quote, though. This is what God said then. We're quoting what happened there in Har Sinai. This was said then. How does Chumash talk about that now? The answer is simple though. What?
It was all given then.
What was given?
Everything.
Was Parsha Emor given by now or not? Emor, no. Emor gives it for the whole Moed.
I don't know. Emor is the...
And that's what the Tzvartan is Zechem. It's there. Remember what we said about Tzvarim? Where were the laws of Tzvarim first given? When? During the first 4 days. Before or after Parsha Mishpatim? Before. No. The laws in Dvarim were given before or after Parsha Mishpatim. The laws in Dvarim. After Parsha Mishpatim is on the day Mamar Har Sinai. Right? And then the first 40 days. But before Chet Ha'Egel. Right? Therefore, did Moshe Rabbeinu hear the laws of Dvarim before Chet Ha'Egel? That's what he was doing up there for 40 days. That's before us. Now, in laws of Dvarim, what laws are included? Shiva Shavuot Tzitzvola. Remember? Per Tzitzayin? It's from Tzitzayin, right? Shiva Shavuot Tzitzvola Mechel Chemish Pekama. No, Shiva, it's a ray, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very second day on this. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
After Kol HaBuchor. Shiva Shavuot Tzitzvola Mechel Chemish Pekama. Vasit Echak Shavuot Hashem Elokecha. Mitzal Nazirat Yedcha. Correct?
Yeah.
You follow? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu knows already what Shavuot is. The reader of Chumash doesn't know yet. Why? He didn't read it. But Moshe Rabbeinu knows already. And therefore, after Chet Ha'Egel, what can God tell him? He can tell about Chag Shavuot. Because he knows what it is already. You see how cute that is? Now, see why I did that. Let's go back to the same thing. The laws of Gilim Tatelecha were given to Moshe Rabbeinu when? On the first 40 days. The laws, are the laws of Shemitah and Devarim? Okay, but the Shemitah is Kesafim, but the laws of Shemitah. The laws of Shemitah. And also after that, the laws about the poor and the needy. Afterwards. Thank you, Mukhachicha, isn't that there? Now, they were given beforehand. Now, what's happening in Parsha Bahar? It sounds like, oh, there's more laws given in Har Sinai. Now, listen what Rambam says now. The question is, when were the laws of Parsha Bahar given? Now, we know for sure the Klal was given on, in Parsha Mishpatim, Moses' morning. What does Chazal say? Maklal Tam Sinai, ah? Okay, meaning, where were the Pratim of Shemitah given? On Har Sinai, how do we know that? Parsha Bahar. What do we learn from that? Because I was saying, did anybody was given Har Sinai, the Klal and the Prat? That's a classic one. No. Then he goes on to what we call Pshat. I'm skipping. So this is halfway, this is three quarters through the Ramban. That's how long it is. And this is only a quarter of it. We don't read the whole thing at once. See the beginning? It says, Vinana Parshat Zosh Yechtat Ka. Now he's going to deal with his biggest problem. Why in the root Parshat Bahar here? Ka meaning where? It's in the statement by Yikra. Where should it be? It should be in Shmuel. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abraham, Ibn Ezra, Kizot HaBrit HaKtubah B'Parshat Deir HaMishpatim, ושיבלו הנפשם לעשה ונשמע את המשפטה הברית ואמר להם כל הפרשה הזאת. See what the answer says? Where was Parsha Bahar given? In Parsha Mishpatim. Right after the laws, how do we know the laws of Mishpatim were given in Mishpatim? It says so. After Mishpatim, what happened? We have Sefer HaBrit, and the people say Nasa Benishma, they can't have Sefer HaBrit by Kler Bos Neham. What's Sefer HaBrit, according to Ibn Ezra? Bahar B'chukatai. Why get a break in Shemal Gishmah Bukhalim, not Gishmah Bukhalim? And really, where should Parshat Bahar be? It should be in Shemot Chavdalit. But Chumash takes it from here. Why? Explains why. Okay? V'amad lehem ha-parshat zot, that was given to Bnei Yisrael back then. See how amazing what Ibn Ezra says this? Ibn Ezra moves things freely. He's got a license to move anything. Okay? Hikashir Amar, now he says, explain why. V'izkir v'mukom hazeh, where's the day now? L'chaveh t'nei ha'aretz. You see why? Why in Vayikra? What do you mean by t'nei ha'aretz? On what t'nei do we keep the land of Israel? According to Chumash, not according to modern day politicians. But why? On what t'nei do we keep the land of Israel? If what? If we keep God's laws, etc., it's a question of how we act. Right? Or do we have gay parade? If gay parade would ruin it, wouldn't it? According to Vayikra? Or Big Trump? You follow? כי כאשר אמר הרעיות כי בעבורם תקיע אותם הארץ, כן אמר בפרשת יפותי השבתות הארץ, וצריך כלילה להזכיר השבתות. So there, first, the main thing I need to do is, בחוקותי, the brick, and I'm not even with the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, etc., and then I get to, okay. But what's the benefit of hold? Where was Parsha Bahar given? On our Sinai, on the Shemitah, simple. Rabbah can't say that, why? It's a hope from Ibn Ezra. Well, the feed that see, it's always a great opening when Rabbah says, here's his opinion. He says, it's right where it belongs. It's not out of place. Can you believe it? It's not out of place. What's he saying? Listen to Akrobat Kedadim. Ki perush bar Sinai, balato shal mekabel b'chot shmiyot. See the bombshell Rabbah says? When was Parshat Bahar in the Chukadah given? After Chet Egel. How could that be? Where do I have to speak to give up before Chet Egel? Right? What's Rabban say? He says the laws of Bahar B'chutah were given after Chet Egel. How did he say such a thing? Listen what he said. Ubiur Inyan, ki b'tchilat arba yom rishonim, shal luchot rishonot, ketav Moshe b'sefer brit, et kol divrei Hashem, et kol mishpatim anurim sham, v'yitok gam ha-brit al ha'am, u'shchatu be'egel, v'yishtabru ha-luchot, kilu nitansa brit. He says, first we had the first brit, and after Chet Egel, that brit is gone. Remember? Luchot are broken. Kilu nitansa brit. It's not good for you. Okay, that's not good for you. The Moshe b'luchot shriot, yidol b'brit chadasha. First New Testament. What you do? We're going to make a new covenant. We're going to make a new deal, a new ksuba. Got it? Shenemar yidol no kikron et brit. Dizir shama mitzvot, referring to the end of the end of the repeat of the Mishopin of Namakom at the end of after Chetanika, we read from before. That's why he repeats the Aliyah, the regular stuff. God, God, you're missing it, he's going to visit again. Now we get to the main point. This second brief is not going to be so easy like the first one. This one's going to come with a lot of... The first one, remember that said the Nishma, or the Kiddush? Remember when they said the first brief? It was Chassidish. Wait, no war, nothing? They were eating, drinking, they saw God, remember? Perchabdalish? This time around, last time you took close for comfort. This time, this new brief, it's going to come with lots and lots of warning. This is what we all want to mess up this time. It's the same laws, the laws are the same. Now, he follows it's the same laws, but what's the other? We need to say for our Brit HaRishon, then Rashi speaks, Bichlal, Moshe's cousin. In the first day for our Brit, which is what? Mishpatim. We mentioned the law of Shemitah. He realized the Shemitah is mentioned in Har Sinai, in the first Luchot. What changed with the second Luchot? Shemar Rashmit, Yishmetayim Tashta. Vatzah v'brit ha-shemit, ne'ma v'fratel v'tizkeh v'unshel. What happens now? What did God do because of Chet HaEgel? Right? Now he goes into much more detail. What do we see? We see why I brought it? What's Ramban saying? That a certain set of laws existed in the first 40 days. But because of Chet HaEgel, what happens to those laws? They're adapted, they're enhanced. As a tikkun. You follow? Ubeit HaBrit HaRishona, Shuv B'Arba'im Yom Rishonim, Yisara Moshe Al HaMishkan, שאתה קדוש ברוך הוא, בכתיבה, לכל מהם ברית שנייה, יורד משה יצבם את חוסר סיבה שם בהר סיני. ואין מה זה משום מה. Now we get it solved with power. How does solve it with the מאוחר בתורה? והיקרא still begins with או המועד. It's still out of place. Yeah, he saved a little, he saved himself 40 days. He got it with 180 days. Now this is how he gets out of it. This is great. Somebody underline now. ואז יקיל משה כל כעדן יצרו ואמר להם כבתחילה. אין לנו של סיבה שם לעשות אותם, אבל זה משנה. What happened after Yom Kippur? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu got up in the last 40 days he gets the laws of the Mishkan, the new laws, the new brit, Abba, he gets all the new things at the brit. What if he went in order? First he says the laws of the Mishkan, and then he should do Abba Chukotai, and make them, and then do all the Kabbalot and things. He says, no, here's what happened. Okay? He told the laws of the Mishkan, and they were happy. When he came down from Arsina, the first thing he told him was this Mishkan, and that's it. He didn't tell him about the warnings and stuff. He said, wait, we'll take that for later. When Moshe comes down from Arsina, he tells him only about the Mishkan. After he tells him about the Mishkan, what do the people do? They go build it. Okay? And Yatsuna Fanam, Yadu Bo, Kulam, Venanunda, Zavala, the Mishkan, Mishimo, Vato. They built the Mishkan, they're fine. Had he told him everything they got told him on Arsina? He didn't want to ruin the atmosphere. Yes, have a fun time. In the meantime, 6 months they build the Mishkan, he's keeping it a secret. Moshe is what's called Shomer Bavetim. You follow? He has all these laws, he's Shomer. He's keeping it to himself. In the meantime, they build the Mishkan. Chashiru kam, the Mishkan, miyad v'yikam Moshe, v'yadab v'yashem yom moed. As soon as the Mishkan is built, what did God do? He calls Moshe down to there, you can bring Kavanot, the door's open, all these Kavanot you can bring. And what does Moshe do? Tells all those things to Bnei Yisrael. V'tivah v'kavanot v'chot v'at kohanim. V'moshe tivah k'vash. I call Al-Aron, Al-Banaz, Al-Kobin, Yisrof, and Miyad, according from the Nova Ikra. What does Moshe do? As soon as God talks to him, he does it's great news. Hey, we can bring Karbonot, it's great. Now that he finished all the laws of Karbonot, he tells him, guess what? I'll say my language, we'll see inside. Moshe says, after he says all the laws of Karbonot, he says, guess what, everybody? Remember when I was on our Sinai for 40 days? He says, God didn't only tell me about the Mishkan, he also told me, there's good news and there's bad news. You got the good news, and here's the bad news, which is, this new covenant, et cetera, it's not going to be so simple like last time. So Kashir Yishlim, after he finished having all about the Kabbalot, Amar Lem, at the end of it, O Tiva O Ti Hashem, Bahar Sinai, Nefresh Shechem HaShmita, Vayobel, Nekot Lechem Brit, Alifam Mishpatim, Brit Chadasha, Vala Vishua. By the way, when I was back in Har Sinai, when I was getting laws in Mishkan, I also got the laws of this new Brit, and what I need to do? And now I'm going to tell you what God told me back then. You tell me about the problem? He said, the laws of Bahar were given when? On our Sinai. But when did Moshe tell them to be Bnei Israel? Only after he told them about the Mishkan Yad Vayikra. Is it?
Ramban's an masterpiece, Ramban.
Is it? It's Shita.
It's ingenious what he does.
Now, our topic is that, you understand why I brought it? I'm trying to show you a pattern. What seems to be happening? That there can be basic laws, like Tzitzit, like Mikdash, like Shemitah, that existed at our first 40 days. Like Pesach Rishon, possibly. Like Nachat Aretz. But what happens? Certain historical events happen. Sometimes Chataim, usually Chataim. And because of events that happen in our history, what does God decide to do? To take existing mitzvot and give them additional meaning, newer meaning, enhancing the meaning. You follow? Which is beautiful, isn't it? It's a wonderful idea. That can happen. And therefore, it could be that the laws of... Now, some of the laws in Bamidbar, the laws after we leave Har Sinai, the laws of Covenant were there. Now, what could be, even by the Nesachim, what might be, it could be that the original plan was, there would have been Nesachim. Maybe an animal was there, it's it. But because of Pesach Rabbim, what happened? The people showed a lack of care about the land of Israel. What's God trying to do? How are we going to fix that? When you bring your Korban, you bring from the fruit of the land, you add a little bit. Remember what did they bring back? Remember Eshkol Navim Echad? They brought wine. Remember? Now we're going to bring the Sachim. So remember how to appreciate the land of Israel. It could be, you follow? It could be that the law of the Sachim is not something, maybe there wouldn't have been a Sachim. There would have been Korbanot, there would have been a lot of Shlamim, but maybe you wouldn't bring flour and wine with every Korban Yechid. Now because Chetam Raglim, because the people in the Zazal in the land of Israel, what are they doing now? Now I have to remind myself of the beauty of land of Israel every time I bring a Korban, hence the Sachim. You follow? Now, even if I'm similar with the Shkagah, because of this major Shkagah, the entire nation, then now there'll be a special Korban for situations like that. And that actually gets it even better, because Shkagah, Shigat Eida, after Chetar Maglim, it's a nice leak in Adikus. And now Tzitzit, we can say the same thing. Had it not been for Chetar Maglim, it would have been Tzitzit. It would have been Tzitzit. Okay. Now Chetar Maglim, it takes on, and just now we remember the Lotus Surah Fendel of Fem. Now, what happened to Chetam Raglim, right? We're wandering off, we're not using our eyes properly. We're not taking what we see and reaching the right conclusions, or we're not processing information the way we should be doing. We need to refine the way we look at things, etc. And now the lost tikkun, which existed beforehand, now takes an extra meaning because of Chetam, and it becomes the type of the tikkun. Well, yeah. The lost of Not could have been, a lot of people hold, that are Pesach Sheni for sure. Could have been, that wasn't God's original plan, but you want so much to give, it's fine. We'll see what God has to say. Not ma tiva, ma tzaveh.
Yeah, but if he had known it before, having been so set down the principle, Har Sinai, there's a Pesach Sheni.
No, I'm saying exactly the opposite. I'm saying Pesach was there, but the idea that you could bring Pesach Sheni is a chidush because the people wanted it so much. Now, you think always turn up, then what? There's a pattern there. The what? Of the involvement of how sort of halacha or halachot, I mean, mitzvot can evolve with historical events. I don't want to get into modern day notes. You can cap it at heart. You can cap it with chumash. That's no problem. But if you want to be really modern, you could say, you see how the process can continue. How Jewish history, how exist basic mitzvot begin, and Jewish history can have a effect. Again, I cap it with chumash. I'm saying, but if you want to be a little, I don't want to give fuel to anybody. Besides, I shouldn't take that. Yeah.
Even with the Mekoshesh and even the Mekadeh.
Yeah.
Where again you have mitzvah, clearly the Chazal say, you knew that this is not true. It is so exact.
What mitzvah to give them? Yeah. But that's more upset because that seems like, those can be more like, I mean, most of you know exactly what, it wasn't clear enough the first time. And as long as God's around, the room around, God can answer. If he wasn't, then we'd have to decide on our own. But like God helps us out in the first time. But those are also maybe for another, like Moshe, never? Ever Moshe, I know, but the first, what, you know, Chazal, touching that right away? Remember Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Baruch Hashem, you put in your life? And then again, then all of a sudden, the Baruch Hashem, and all of a sudden, he's got to go to God. That's a classic Rosh Hashanah. You know what I'm talking about? Those are classics. So if you follow what we did, I want to show you, the main thing is an understanding of what's happening with Sefer Bamidbar. It's the very fact how the mitzvot are organized. What's special about Bamidbar, that in itself is neat, that says Dor Sheni. And I think Chumash wants it to be Doresh, and everyone is there. I don't think Chumash wants every single Yochid nowadays to Doresh, Dor Halachot, from the Tzvukot Parshiot, that's for sure. Rabbi Shmuel, Aziz Gimel, A license for that, that's hard to get. But in studying Parshanut, Parshanut Rayomit, for sure, that's tons of things. Who's license to do that? That's wonderful. And even if today we don't have a license to do it ourselves, we have a license to learn the Smichut and appreciate what Chazal did with that. And then the third level is, I think we can, and at the level of modern day Parshanut, to use that as a springboard to give up ideas which are sure right, but using it to get looking for ideas and insights. Right? There's nothing for sure that's something good to do. But the idea of understanding how Chumash works. The Chumash is this trial, here's all the halachot, here's all the stories, separate. But they're always tied together between the halachot and the story. And always finding smichut parshiyot. How do our mitzvot relate to our daily life? That's a very important message about you, and I think Sefer may have to teach that lesson through. Now, to appreciate the laws of tzitzit, how much the mitzvot that we keep are not just the mitzvot in themselves, but they're also supposed to be a type of tikkun, a lot of tikkun. That's already more in machshavet and for sure in chassidut. So that the mitzvot aren't just mitzvot themselves, but they form a type of tikkun. And the whole idea, let's take a look at Mahut Shaddai, what tikkun means in general. But how much that relates to Tzadar Judaism, that if man can go wrong, and all Torah is basically tikkun. Hold on. Let's see the Torah, remember? The idea that Am Yisrael was chosen for tikkun olam, the second of Mahut Shaddai. And the whole concept of mitzvot is already in that direction. And then there could be the mitzvot, tzitzit, takes on a special meaning. It's not just, the same word with this, I'm putting it into Yichud Parshiot, but it's the very Chiddush part, the tailored part of the mitzvah, might have been the Chiddush from Mechatam Rabbim. And bring up a possibility, again, no one will know for sure, and has the Yavon Mashiach thing, will know, some historian finds some code, exactly, so somewhere in the Vatican, exactly what was where. That never called to the Rambam. But hopefully I'll get a little, get a better, a wider understanding of what's happening in Sefer Bamidbar, so this comes. Seems that Mishlo and Korach used to, but Korach was saying about Korach, the same idea, that the type of tikkun because of what happened wrong, it's not just Banat Kuna because they need compensation, but what we give from, is to remind us what we did wrong in Korach. I'll stay around for questions if you have them.
Yeah,
this is Marjorie Kane, right?
Okay, Amarv's going to be in about 5 minutes. Maybe make it.
No time.